My name is Colonel Ethan Diven, Commander of Operations Group, call sign Outlaw 01, and I'm the host of Thinking Inside the Box, The Gauntlet, podcast of the Operations Group at the National Training Center at Fort Irwin, California, as part of NTC's Warrior Chronicles. The Gauntlet drives warfighting by talking to leaders from our joint force, talking about the crucible of ground combat, leadership, training, and fighting at the crown jewel of our Army. Today, I have the great fortune to sit down with Colonel Ed Arnston, Commander of the Gray Wolf Brigade, 3rd Armored Brigade Combat Team, 1st Cavalry Division, who's in an awesome position to reflect on his recent experiences during Rotation 2406, March into April earlier this year, and how those lessons have informed him and his troopers' preparations for their upcoming rotation in 2506, 1 year later. Thanks for joining us fresh from your leadership training program activities for today. Really appreciate the time. Could you please just kind of introduce yourself to the audience, personally and professionally?
Sure, Ethan. Thank you very much. I really appreciate the opportunity to be on with you. So I've been in the Army now for going on 23 years. I was commissioned in 2002 out of the ROTC program from North Dakota State. Went to a small liberal arts college, Concordia College, and then we did ROTC at North Dakota State. I have been married to my wife, Tracy, for 22 years. Now we have two children. Our daughter, Sophia, is 15, and our son, EJ, is 13. On the professional side, I have had the great fortune to serve in Alaska, and we share that background together, Ethan. As a young officer, as a platoon leader and a company commander in 1st of the 501st and 3rd of the 509th in Alaska, as that brigade stood up, had the opportunity to serve in the Old Guard as a senior captain, then had the opportunity to serve in the 1st Cavalry Division as a major coming out of SAMS, and then commanded a battalion, 3187, and the Rockasans in the 101st, and then now consider myself extremely fortunate to be commanding the Gray Wolf Brigade here for LTP 2.0 for me and a lot of my team, and then coming back for NTC 2506 after fighting at 2406, as you mentioned.
Oh, awesome. Thanks for that introduction. Really diverse experience from light airborne infantry organizations, as well as mechanized and mounted formations, along with stint in the Old Guard. That's incredible. I'm sure your wife and kiddos have to be incredibly proud of you. So let's talk about what you and the troopers the Gray Wolf Brigade learned as you fought here early spring in 2406. What would you say your biggest takeaways were as a brigade commander?
We were able to drive a lot of the things that we learned. We've been able to drive this into our training progression. One of the big things that your predecessor, Colonel, now promotable, Colonel Steve Capehart, really taught me was, are we in position and ready to execute, you know, no matter what that is, fire support, execute a breach, no matter what it is, are we in position, right? Which is really, have we set the conditions at the brigade level for the operation that we are about to go into? And so really just that professional language, in position, ready to, has driven so much throughout the organization in terms of how we think about setting the conditions at the brigade level for whatever we're about to do. That's the first big thing that I learned as a brigade commander. One of the other ones was in relation to sustainment. I think most people would not take for granted that sustaining an ABCT at the National Training Center in contact with the enemy is a very difficult task. And so as a part of that, I learned a lot of lessons about the tempo that you have to fight the brigade at. You cannot just snap your fingers and move a combined arms battalion. You know, we've really got to make sure that we're setting the conditions from a sustainment perspective, from a maintenance perspective, in order to move that battalion and subsequently move the brigade across the battlefield. You know, there aren't just helicopters that are going to land, pick up the formation to go seize an objective. It's got to be a little bit more set piece in order to have the right kind of operational endurance that you want to fight with. The next thing, which we were able to, and then I'll kind of talk a little bit of our training path, CASAVAC. This is something that I think as an Army, you have a real opportunity to train with rigor at the National Training Center. Because the National Training Center is one of the few places where you can execute CASAVAC at scale in terms of the density and the type of casualties that the OCs are able to assess based on the enemy contact really forces you to stress your CASAVAC systems inside of the battalion to the roll one, right, to your initial medical capability or, you know, life-saving capability, and then back to the brigade level to my some of my medical capabilities that I've got at the brigade level. So that's just three right off the bat that I'll start the conversation with, Ethan.
Super powerful. And kudos and, you know, continued coaching of all of us by Colonel Promotable Capehart. But the language of commanders and language that we provide to our staffs and subordinates that are helpful for us as, you know, brigade commanders to see and understand and only make the decisions that we need to. And then when things might not be set up, that is risk. And when we're comfortable, because we still need to go to address the tempo that you mentioned. So now, how did you take these three large lessons learned from the scale of fighting here at the National Training Center, the stress of an Op 4 that's contesting your every move, and apply those when you went back to Fort Cavazos?
The first one we were able to do, I had both the fortune, but then also it's a quick turn when you take command and then within 120 days are fighting at the National Training Center. So you don't get to do everything that you would like to up front. I had the opportunity to do some leader training, both with battalion commanders and company commanders. We were able to do a staff ride to Vicksburg, which was absolutely fantastic. And yes, we're learning about the history of our great Army, but we're also learning and taking away, seeing what Grant did at Vicksburg in terms of always acting on the system and being someone that has a bias for action, right, versus Pemberton, who some historians may say sat on his hands a little bit at Vicksburg. So had the opportunity to do leader training there. We did a Tank and Bradley Commander course to increase confidence and competence in our Tank and Bradley commanders. And then also took some time with the Company Battery Troop commanders to do about a 36, 40-hour Munga Dai with them, which was an incredible experience to help forge that team. On the staff side, as we talk about the in position ready to, what's been really neat this second go round is almost kind of like a quarterback who's in the second year of the same offense, right? We have had the opportunity to build on what we executed at 2406. So the talk setup and design is relatively the same. A lot of the products, they're getting refined and updated, but they are generally the same. This has allowed us to dig into the other systems and processes at the staff level so that we can consistently be working on what I mentioned earlier, which is how are we setting the conditions? How are we going to get the brigade in position and ready to execute whatever it is? The thing I'm really most excited about that we did, as we were out here, I had a conversation with then Major General Admiral, now Lieutenant General Admiral, who commands the 3rd Armored Corps, about our sustainment formations. And our sustainment formations consistently do, you know, fantastic work. But as I looked at all the different warfighting functions from our artillery brethren who work through their tables with incredible detail and precision, our military intelligence professionals, right, who work through their MITS tables, there are staff progression tables, there are engineer qualification tables, and then there's certainly, which most folks would be familiar with in the Army, there's our gunnery progression tables for our infantry armor and cavalry formations as they step through not only their individual crew qualification, but up through platoon and then CALFEX, which we're going to execute here in January. I didn't see that in our sustainment formations. And so I had a really good conversation with my new BSB commander, Lieutenant Colonel Kimberly DeFore and her team. And we went about setting and really running a pilot for not only within the division, but I think for the Army, that we're calling sustainment qualification tables for our field feeding teams, for our maintainers, and then also for our distro platoons. Number one, inside of the our forward support companies. But then secondly, inside of our HHCs, we're getting a good look and we're really training our CTCPs, our UMCPs, and our role one medical capability at the battalion level. And then we have a different set of standards and tables for the base companies inside of our brigade support battalion for them to work through that. And so what's been incredibly powerful is as we've added rigor and standardization to our sustainment formations, our FSC commanders and our BSB base company commanders have really done an incredible job of they've integrated their training into the maneuver framework to see how they're executing it. And we're talking in very precise terms in terms of how long does it take to refuel when we receive the division, you know, logistical push. How long does it take to refuel, to do bulk-to-bulk fuel transfers, as an example, for our distribution company inside of the BSB? We're adding rigor in terms of how long does it take to execute a logistical push to one of our elements in a battalion when you're moving 15K, 20K at night on, you know, on uneven terrain, for example. And so there's several more examples I could give, but the bottom line is adding the rigor and the standardization to our sustainment training so that our sustainment, our 91 series soldiers, right, our 88 mics and all the leaders in those formations are certified and qualified just like our infantrymen, artillerymen, tankers, our staffs, our engineers, and on down the line. So I know that was a lot right there, but that's the thing I'm most excited about, that we learned from 2406 and are applying that and trying to potentially offer something to the Army as a framework to train our sustainment formations.
Yeah, that's incredibly innovative. You know, taken from where you started in your response, as you forged the team, focused on leader development, took the opportunity for a staff ride as kind of the first venue. But then as the great analogy, second year, same system quarterback who can take the lessons from the previous season and apply them. And you're really helping not just 3rd Armored Corps, probably 1st Cavalry Division, but opportunity to show the Army how you're taking an innovative and rigorous approach to training the sustainment warfighting function that I'm sure from 2 decades of service you've observed and continue to hear. Sustainers are the last to get focused and protected training because, you know, they're taking care of the rest of the squadron, the battalion, the brigade, the division. And so an opportunity, I'm sure you're already thinking about it, is, you know, to talk about that in an ABCT Warfighters Forum or best practice paper, but really impressive to hear that the Gray Wolf team has decided to tackle that. Excited to see kind of what you guys produce and share with the Army, but how you fight, you know, here this coming spring. So the approach that you've taken, you're here at the leadership training program right now. How did your previous experience inform the way you approached LTP? And then how's it going to really this afternoon?
Sure, absolutely. The LTP one was, I took command on a Friday early in the morning, less than 48 hours later, right? I was on a plane flying from Fort Cavazos, Texas. My big focus, just the very simple guidance I gave my team as I came on board, was the leader training program. It is about getting great coaching from our LTP staff, right, who all have tremendous experience from service in our Army, but then also is the opportunity to build the team and do some team building activities. On this go round, we did some bowling with the brigade staff, which is a tremendous amount of fun. But for this go round, maintained the focus on team building, did a couple of different PT sessions with the company commanders, which is always a great time to help build that team. And then had the opportunity to go out on the terrain as I did last year. This year, had the opportunity really to kind of lead that myself. Last year, had the great fortune to have Brigadier General Chalfant, now the Commandant of the Armor Force, out there with us and coaching and teaching and prompting, which was fantastic. And then this year had the opportunity to kind of really lead that terrain, you know, walk out with the battalion commanders myself, along with Colonel retired Mike Papple, who heads the leader training program. But that was great to get to do and provide a little bit of, you know, my vision and how I think about fighting. What I asked the company battery troop commanders as we went through, did a couple of PT sessions together, had some interaction with them. They get the opportunity to go out into the box 4 or 5 times when they're here at the LTP, which is absolutely fantastic. What I asked them to do was really use that time, not just to be on the terrain and see it and understand it, that's great, but also visualize how you're going to fight on that terrain, down to the details of, I think I would put a Bradley section behind that micro terrain, which is intervisibility line, because I don't think that an enemy defending from, say, north of my position could see them. Maybe that's where I would put a Bradley section. Maybe this is where I would put a tank section. Here is where I might have the opportunity to move a little more slowly as a formation, so I'm not creating a signature. And then when I hit this point, I've got to transition from movement to maneuver, because as I get on this terrain, I see how open it is. At that point, right, we've got to move into bounding overwatch, change our movement technique in order to fight the enemy that we're going after. So coming back, was able to ask some more pointed questions and also ask folks in to kind of knuckle down and dive into a deeper level of analysis, not only for our battalions and their staffs, but for our company battery troop commanders who get to go out onto the terrain, execute practical exercises.
I would say you have just listed off best practices and an approach for any leader that is getting ready for the leader training program at the NTC. You know, continued focus on building the team. You made the opportunity to be physically fit and, you know, do something kind of hard and forge, you know, relationships with those select groups of leaders. But what many don't appreciate, and is a great lesson for fighting here, is the terrain, how unique it is. I mean, that's what makes Black Horse so good, is they understand, they respect it, they know how to fight in it. So you have capitalized on the time here, charged your captains to go out and think about the granular micro terrain and how it would apply to their formation. So kudos to you and the leaders in the Gray Wolf Brigade, making the most out of your time here. So talking about leaders, you've got to have some expectations based on multiple rotations here as a field grade before, and then as a brigade commander coming into your second one. What do you expect of, you know, kind of all leaders in the brigade? And let's get more granular with, hey, your company battery troop commanders, and then how about your battalion squadron commanders?
Absolutely. For the company battery troop commanders, their job one is to fight their formation. You know, our motto in the Gray Wolf Brigade is to win every fight. And we believe that because whether you are an intelligence analyst, a crew member of a Paladin, crew member on a tank or a Bradley, everybody's got a fight to win. So you've got to fight your formation. That is your absolute job one. And as a part of that, what makes your formation lethal? And our, you know, our team, we're on a constant mission to figure out what makes us the most lethal formation on planet Earth. And so for those company battery troop commanders, that's their job one, fight their formation, and then work with their company first sergeant, work with their XO to develop the right systems and processes inside of their formation to help keep them armed, keep them fueled, so they can continue to fight. For the company battery troop commanders on a little bit more practical level, the enemy is going to present you with things maybe that you didn't think you would see, or Black Horse, who does a fantastic job, they'll attack you, hit you from angles you weren't expecting. How do you react to that with your formation and continue to fight, right? So digging in and having that grit as a young leader out here at the National Training Center, I think is incredibly important, because that's exactly what we would expect of our team in combat. If you make contact where you didn't expect, are you just going to stop? You know, complain to the proverbial refs, right? The team from ops group? No. We expect you to continue to fight, continue to dig in, adjust your plan, and then fight the enemy, even if it's at a time or a place where you didn't think you were going to fight them. That's exactly what they want to do. Now, what's your response? The second thing I would say, too, is there is a tremendous amount of focus on Black Horse. And look, the Black Horse team for now generations has continued to win consistently engagements or battles against units that rotate out here. And I don't think that's a big surprise. What I would challenge any leader who comes out here to do is think about, what are you going to do to the enemy? Then, boy, those guys are really great with their miles, which is 100% true. And the team here has and always will have that little bit of advantage. But what Black Horse is great at is providing you with multiple forms of contact to react to. And what I think more folks need to come to the National Training Center prepared to do is, what are the forms of contact that you're putting against Black Horse and making them respond to you, instead of the other way around, of consistently just worrying about what they're going to do, focus on, right, the best defense is a good offense, and getting after them that way. So that would be at the company battery troop level. As I talk that, I'm now probably up into the battalion squadron level, because how are we, right, in General Chalfont's terms, how are we combining arms in the close fight to provide Black Horse with multiple dilemmas, so we are not just presenting a singular formation with only the movement and maneuver warfighting function present on the battlefield, and are not combining arms? So for the battalion and the squadron commanders, how are you maximizing your formation so that you can combine arms in the close fight to defeat enemy on the battlefield out here at the National Training Center. And I was a little bit there, so I'll pause there.
No, that was great. How do you like those commanders to communicate back to you if they don't think they have enough?
A lot of that goes into a little bit of the art there of command. If they don't have enough, I want them to come back to me, right? I want them to come back to me and tell me, hey, I don't know that I've got the right set here. And that's where, you know, in our case, the guns of Grey Wolf from 282FA, we're going to put them into play. We're going to put electronic warfare assets into play to try to tip the scales of that fight in the favor potentially of one of our combined arms battalions out front. And I think that what you just mentioned there, that's a little bit of, hey, boss, I see some risk ahead of me, right? So that's the language of commanders that you and your team are consistently coaching folks to get after out here in how we communicate with one another. And so I can help mitigate some of that risk, both through my assets or asking, you know, out here, the mighty 52nd ID for assets that might be able to shape that more favorably for one of our combined arms battalions.
Most powerful, undermanned, non-standard division in our army. That's right. The Mighty Desert Warriors. Super powerful, what you just said, themes of, you know, maintaining tempo, multiple forms of contact on Black Horse, because that's exactly how they try to fight, bigger than they actually are, and don't allow an enemy to focus on just one organization or piecemeal. And I really liked how you brought the idea, the term of risk, because that is the language of commanders. Because at some point, hey, you still have to go. You've got the pressure of tempo, a division or a JFLC, you know, Joint Forces Land Component Command is trying to drive on you. And you as an ABCT commander, you're part of it. And you've got 7 battalion squadron commanders trying to do the same thing for you. And 37 company battery troop commanders that all own a piece of that as well. Really well said, and I appreciate it. I'm excited to hear how, you know, the Grey Wolf team is going to communicate with each other and combine arms, as Brigadier General Chalfant loved to say emphatically. So let's talk about, what advice do you have for leaders that are preparing for an NTC rotation?
There's a great book that I'd recommend to any leader, and it's called The Confident Mind. The author, of course, escapes me right now, but former Grey Wolf 6, Colonel retired Kevin Capra, is actually in the book a couple of different times because he did some work with the author who's done some work at the United States Military Academy at West Point. The Confident Mind is a great book because it really helps to train you how to think before you are in potentially these moments of crisis at the National Training Center. Because no matter how good you are, you and your team or the senior trainer, whatever that commanding general is, if your team is just cooking along and they've got the temperature at 400, well, they're just going to turn it up to 500 and see how you deal with it. And so you're going to experience that. Well, that book, The Confident Mind, and again, that's what I used. There's plenty of other books out there in terms of how to visualize how you're going to respond in these times where you're stressed. Talk through those scenarios and what are the things that you as a leader are telling yourself. And you can do a little bit of that work before you come out here. So one of the biggest things that I'd encourage any leader that's coming out to the National Training Center to do is, how are you preparing mentally for the challenges that you're going to experience out here? Again, I mentioned the book, The Confident Mind, as a medium that I found extremely helpful to me, but it is, how do you prepare yourself mentally for what you're going to experience out here? And then what are the things that you are telling yourself so you can respond positively to what's happening, continue to coach and teach and encourage your formation, whether that's your staff or your commanders, and then maintain a cohesive team throughout, you know, whatever the next thing that you've got to go do here at the National Training Center. Because let's say you go through a very difficult fight, which I know I did. We got our butt kicked on our defense the very first period of fighting out here, and we had to respond and come back to move on to the next set of objectives, right? We cannot wallow on that. And so we had to have some mental resilience, mental toughness built into the formation. And I think that as leaders, whether that's at the brigade level, the battalion squadron level, or down to company battered troop level, if you're focused on that and you've got the ability to do that consistently, encourage folks, keep a cohesive team together to focus on what the next fight is, I think, you know, that's awesome. And I'd encourage any leader to do.
Really powerful recommendations and guidance for any leader as they prepare. You actually wove doctrine into your answer, you know, one of the commander activities of visualization after understanding, but then describing, directing, and leading, continuously assessing, because we often don't protect time to teach leaders about how to think, how to see the problem, what's their approach, and take advantage of it. And it sounds like Grey Wolf is absolutely doing it. And you even gave a shout out to a good professional, Reed, to get ready. You also said, hey, it's the crucible of ground combat. Like, this is a resiliency event as well. We would rather, you know, it is our Army's charge to all CTCs, hey, better to have a hard day here and learn how bad we are and get better before we actually deploy and fight and win our nation's wars conducting large-scale combat operations. It has been exceptional to talk with you, and I want to give kind of the second to last word to you. Is there any guidance or a message that you want to give to your troopers, the families, or even to the Black Horse as the Grey Wolf Brigade gets ready to come here and fight?
Well, number one, to Black Horse, we look forward to fighting you again. Gave us an absolutely fantastic fight during 2406, and we're looking forward to coming back for 2506 and fighting again. Probably to my peers or other folks, as a final piece of advice, is come out here with a coachable mindset. Your team at the operations group is filled with incredible professionals. Obviously, you've got former Grey Wolf 7 Command Sergeant Major Gary Kurtzall is out here now as well, helping to coach our senior NCOs. But at Echelon, your team, and I experienced this at 2406, and I know we'll experience it again, is out here to do nothing but make people better. So come out here with a coachable mindset. You might have a professional disagreement, and that is perfectly okay. You can talk about that later. But the team at Operations Group is approaching the rotation with nothing but trying to get you better, and you will improve leaps and bounds as a professional. And then lastly, to the Grey Wolf troopers and families, it takes a lot to prepare for a National Training Center rotation, and the Army invests a lot in each and every Combat Training Center rotation. And so I am appreciative of the sacrifices that everybody in our team has and will make to prepare this brigade to come out here and fight and win at 2506. Again, I know how much it takes, and so I'm so appreciative of all the spouses, the kids, the games that will be missed, the events that will be missed across the board in our formation. So I'm deeply appreciative of our families and the sacrifices that they make for us. And thank you very much for having me on the podcast. This has been absolutely a blast. Thank you very much.
Thanks to Grey Wolf 6. Thanks for highlighting the importance of being coachable, because we love what we do at the Ops Group. I like to say we've got a version of the Abrams Charter going on right here. You know, bring great folks in. We can't help but get better. But your insights are going to generate readiness, professional discourse and dialogue, and make subsequent leaders and formations even better. So thanks for sharing them with us. We are pumped to fight with the Grey Wolf team. We acknowledge, hey, win every fight. And we're going to say that just alongside you and your troopers in 2506. And for everybody, as always, our observer coach trainers are on your team. Invite everybody to look at our Meal Suite page for the latest products. Subscribe to our TAC Talks on YouTube for quick hitting lessons and observations from great leaders, just like Colonel Ann Arnston, a Grey Wolf 6. And thanks for listening to Thinking Inside the Box, The Gauntlet, brought to you by the Warrior Chronicles here at the National Training Center.